And good morning, folks. Sportsline Saturday here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. High school football playoff action. Last night, that's not the only playoffs happening this past week now. We still have some Saturday games going on. Our game of the night tonight on WBGV, our sister station at 92.5. We have Croswell Lexington Pioneers at St. Clair on the radio and streaming line. StanlickBroadcasting.com, you can find the streaming link there. And that will be at 6:30 p.m. this evening. Kickoff at 7 p.m. Dave Frederick will be out there, East China Stadium, for that game. Scores from last night. Sportsline crew out and about. Boy, oh boy, I'm burning the midnight oil. We headed all the way to All-Gray Sims, myself and Jonathan Bishop, for eight-player football coverage area team, the North Huron Warriors, at the All-Gray Sims Wolverines. And All-Gray Sims come away with a win and a great battle on the field. Back and forth, seesaw, but All-Gray Sims Wolverines are powerful, potent offense, pulling it out with the win, 48-42. That was a good game. We'll have the recap on that game. Ubley shutting out Marlette last night in the playoffs. We're going to be hoping to talk to head coach of the Ubley Bearcats, Eric Sweeney, on that big win and rolling to an 11-0 overall record right now. Marine City winning also over Dundee last night. We'll go through the scores here from last night's. If you didn't catch the news, Marine City in action over Dundee last night, 49-6 in high school playoff football action in the MHSA high school football playoffs. Marine City will move on and take on Corona. Now, Corona last night also won over Armada. And that score, that was in the Division 5 Region 4 District 1 Championship game. Corona winning 20-8 over Armada. So now Corona taking on Marine City at East China Stadium. Marine City will host that game in Division 5 Regional Championship action. Marine City still undefeated also, 11-0 overall. Lower division, and they're one of the teams who defeated St. Clair, is playing up against Croswell Lexington tonight also. So they win and move on. Other scores from last night, Frankenmuth winning over their opponent last night. And then that final score was, let me see, they won over Saginaw Swan Valley, 37-7 last night. They move on to take on Kinsley. That will be Frankenmuth hosting that game also. There is an afternoon game, Millington at Lansing Catholic. That'll be a tough showdown for them. 10-0 overall is Millington, but boy, Lansing Catholic, a very tough team also. So they'll take them on at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Our friends over at Let's Talk Sports, 92.1 FM, will be covering that game. That's Scotty Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. We'll have that showdown. Other scores from last night in Division 6, Region 4, District 1, Warren Michigan Collegiate over Almont, 44-14. It was the Lakers over Hemlock, 28-7. We covered that game on our Thumb Tugger Sports crew at Channel 1. Division 8, Region 2, District 2, Ubley shutting out Marlette, 42-0 last night. Eight-player football Division 2 in Region 3, All-Gray Sims over North Huron, 48-42. And Region 4, Cullen over Morris. That's the big upset last night, I believe, 29-22. And so it'll be Cullen and All-Gray Sims in the state semifinals. We'll be right back with more of Sportsline here on WMIC. Back here on Sportsline Saturday, focusing on the high school football playoffs. I forgot to mention also that Port Huron Northern fell to Roseville 41-2 in the district final. That's according to the score report from the Port Huron Times Herald out there. Looking at the Frankenmuth game from last night, Frankenmuth claimed its second win of the season over Saginaw Swan Valley, earning a Division 5 district championship with Friday's victory. Frankenmuth Eagles took a 27-0 halftime lead, running for 426 yards to claim a 37-7 win. Friday night at Frankenmuth Schools. The 11-0 Frankenmuth Eagles now head to the quarterfinals with a home game against Kinsley, which knocked off Clare 32-6, basically the regional championship game. Cole Lindau and Cole Jankowski both went over 150-yard mark. Lindau ran 12 times, 164 yards, including a 78-yard touchdown. Jankowski, 15 times running for 156 yards and touchdown runs of 1, 2, and 19 yards. Jankowski also completed 3 of 6 passes, 41 yards, all to Hunter Letty. Sam Barger added a 53-yard touchdown run. Seth Malmo kicked a 23-yard field goal. I love special teams. Tyler Drain ran for a 4-yard TD in the fourth quarter for the Saginaw Swan Valley Vikings, who finished at 6-5 overall. Luciano Finley led Swan Valley offense also 15 times, 56 yards. Colton Klein completed 4 of 13 passes for 45 yards. Jake Andrews pacing the Frankenmuth defense with 10 tackles. Michael Carter followed with 9 tackles and a fumble recovery. In the second week of the season, also, Frankenmuth beat Swan Valley 47-20. So it is Frankenmuth moving on to the next round of the playoffs. They will take on Kinsley, and that will be a home game for Frankenmuth based on playoff points. And Kinsley plays in the Northern Michigan Football Conference Legends Division. They are 10-1 overall. One loss in the regular season. At the end of the regular season, they lost to Travis City St. Francis. That's a perennial power in high school football in the regular season, but especially in the playoffs. Travis City St. Francis won last night, 64-34. That was last week, that is, over Harrison. And they beat Kinsley also in the regular season, as I noted. They only lost there for Kinsley. They play McBain today. Travis City St. Francis plays McBain today at 1 p.m. And that will be played at Travis City St. Francis this afternoon in that game. So good luck to the Frankenmuth Eagles as they move on to the next round of the playoffs. Last night, we had a game coverage with the Lakers and our Thumbtugger Sports crew. They faced Hemlock in the Division 7 District Championship football game, and it was Lakers winning that game, although Hemlock had a running back, Robert Napick, ran 18 times, 118 yards, but could not overcome the 4 turnovers. Hemlock had 4 turnovers as Laker High offense ran for 235 yards and had 166 yards through the air. Max Dinniger completed 7 of 19 passes for 143 yards, including 3 to Bryce Murphy for 81 yards. Zach Kretschmer back with the Lakers, of course. Nice to see everybody healthy right now at the right time. Ran for 187 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Lakers for Zach Kretschmer last night. You can hear a replay of that game at Thumbtugger Sports at Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com also. So congratulations to the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, a big win. Hemlock defeated Bad Axe, who were, you know, had a lot of injuries in their team, unfortunately. But, you know, some teams have next man up. If you have if you're deep enough, you're able to, you know, to move on. But, and Lakers on a run, too. After their loss to Reese in the regular season, they thought they were out of the Greater Thumb West title picture. But then they rattle off wins, the big win over Bad Axe. And then they needed help from Reese to beat Bad Axe also, I do believe. Or Bad Axe, they needed Bad Axe to beat Reese, and they did that. So Lakers, after that loss back on October 8th to Reese, they ran out 4 straight wins over Bad Axe, over Tawas. And then in the playoffs against Reese, avenged their earlier loss, 18-27 to Reese, that we had covered, actually, on the Sportsline crew, and got that win in the playoffs last week over Reese, 49-6, and then get the win over Hemlock, 28-7, who defeated Bad Axe. So right now, the Lakers peaking at the right time. Zach Kretschmer peaking at the right time, also running for that 187 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Lakers last night to move on to the next round of the playoffs. So congratulations to the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. They'll be at Pewamo Westphalia, and that will be on the road. No time date yet. That will be finalized over the weekend or possibly by Monday. Pewamo, a power in the Central Michigan Athletic Conference. They are 11-0 overall. Huge win for them over New Lothrop last night, 53-21. And listen to the teams they have beaten who have been known to be in the playoffs in the past many seasons. They beat Lansing Catholic. That's a power there. 12-7. They beat Ithaca 42-7 in the playoffs a couple weeks ago. And then last night over New Lothrop, 53-21. So the Lakers are going to have their hands full here coming up next week in the next round for a regional championship in the playoffs of Division 7 with Pewamo Westphalia. So, yeah, be ready for that. Sure to be a slobber knocker in that game. We'll see. I mean, they're peaking right now. Lakers peaking right now. Very healthy at this point. And if you can try, that's the thing to try to do. From way back in week one on last week of August and then all the way through. You know, a lot of teams up and down with their injuries. And you know, you just hope you can stay healthy through the season also. So, especially with a COVID deal also. So, yeah. Sometimes we lose players due to natural injuries on the field. Other times, negative. You got a positive test, you got to sit out. So that's just that's another thing to add to the mix here for teams and players. But a big win there for Lakers, 28-7 over Hemlock. Now they got Pewamo Westphalia. We will likely cover that game with a Sportsline crew on our Thumbtugger Sportsline crew online with a live webcast. And make that trip to Pewamo Westphalia. Again, Pewamo Westphalia, 11-0 overall. And, man, the big wins over New Lothrop this last night. And then Ithaca and Lansing leading up to this point. Pretty powerful team there. We'll have more details on that pregame show coming your way. All right, we're going to take another break here, folks. Talking about Frank and Move and the Lakers, what happened last night. Coming your way also, we'll be getting ready for an interview with head coach Eric Sweeney of the Ubley Bearcats. Says they got that win over Marlette. We'll go through the stat report on that and talk to him here after our weather forecast. And when we come back, actually, we'll take a quick commercial break and get ready for that interview after the weather at the bottom of the hour. But we'll go through the stat report with Marlette and Ubley last night here on Sportsline Saturday on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. And don't forget our game for high school football playoff action in Sand Lake Broadcasting will be tonight, 6:30 p.m. It'll be Crosby Lexington at St. Clair Saints tonight, 6:30 p.m. on 92.5 FM. And also streaming live at the sandlakebroadcasting.com website. You can find the streaming link there also. We'll be right back here on Sportsline Saturday. Welcome back to Sportsline Saturday and WMIC, and recapping the win for the Ubley Bearcats over Marlette last night. 42-0 is your final score. Ubley scoring in the first quarter was 7 points, then adding 14 in the second, 7 more in the third, and 14 in the fourth quarter to make it 42-0. Passing yards for Marlette, spread offense, 66 yards and only 83 yards rushing for the Marlette Red Raiders. Ubley Bearcats, 77 passing yards, known for a running team with a wing T offense, but I heard they used a spread last night. 249 rushing yards, 22 first downs in the game, 10 first downs for Marlette. Penalties, 2 penalties for Marlette, 25 yards, and 1 penalty for Ubley with 5 yards. One of your leaders offensively for the Marlette Red Raiders, 8 of 16 for Jason Timbush, the quarterback, for 50 yards and no touchdowns. Kyler Chisholm had 13 carries, 65 yards for Marlette. Travis Fuller receiving 21 yards. And for the Ubley Bearcats, Evan Peruski, the quarterback, passing-wise, 3 of 5 for 77 yards and 2 touchdown passes. Colin Oberski, 16 carries for Ubley, 82 yards. Kyle Sweeney, 2 receptions, 58 yards also, and 2 touchdowns for the Ubley Bearcats. Evan Peruski ran for 7 yards to score first at the 5-11 mark with a touchdown. Point after kick by Brett Mueller is good, making it 7-0 in the second quarter. Evan Peruski, the quarterback for Ubley, ran for 4 yards with a touchdown. The PAT is good in the second quarter, making it 14-0. Evan Peruski passing complete to number 22, Kyle Sweeney, for 15 yards. A touchdown there. PAT good by Brett Mueller, that is, for 21-0 lead. And that's where it would be at the half. Third quarter, Evan Peruski pass complete to number 22, Kyle Sweeney, for 43 yards and a touchdown. Point after kick good, 28-0. Love the special team kicks there. Fourth quarter, Logan Mueller, number 14 at the 8-0-9 mark, ran for 1 yard for a touchdown, making it 35-0. And Jay Susala, number 33 for Ubley at the 2-0-8 mark in the fourth quarter, with a touchdown for 5 yards, making it 42-0. Colin Miller got to throw the ball also for Marlette in the loss, 2 of 3, 16 yards. And the rushing stats, Kyler Chisholm at 65 yards rushing for the Marlette Red Raiders with 13 attempts. And Jason Timbush also rushing for 19 yards. Grant Roberson for 4 yards. Receiving stats, Travis Fuller, 21 yards, a leading receiver. Just not too much for Marlette. It was just a total takedown here by the Ubley defense. 18 yards for Grant Roberson receiving also. 16 for Colin Miller and Tristan Creighton with 11 yards receiving. Those are the rushing and passing stats totals for Marlette. For Ubley, Evan Peruski, 3 of 5, as I said, 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. And receiving-wise, rushing-wise, Colin Oberski, 82 yards but no touchdowns, 16 attempts. Evan Peruski, the quarterback, with 80 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Logan Mueller, 14 yards with 1 touchdown. Jay Susala with 9 yards rushing and a touchdown. 55 yards for Mark Heilig, rushing-wise, and 11 attempts also. Seth Maurer getting some touches for 5 yards, and Luke Volbring for 4 yards. Receiving stats, Kyle Sweeney, 58 yards and 2 receptions for 2 touchdowns. Yeah, twice, 2 catches for touchdowns. Colin Oberski with 19 yards receiving also for the Ubley Bearcats to get this win, and they move on to the next round of the playoffs as they get ready. And coming up after this weather forecast, we are going to talk to the head coach of the Ubley Bearcats also. Ubley moves on to the next round. One game at a time. That's the motto. You don't want to look too far ahead is the motto. They'll take on Breckenridge in the next round of the playoffs and regional championship in Division 8. Ubley is 11-0 overall. Marlette, not a bad season. Finish on getting a thumping there from Ubley. They lost to Ubley earlier in the season also, 56-21. It was actually tied, I believe, at the half in the first meeting back in Week 3. But for their season, they got in the playoffs. Quite an accomplishment there for Marlette to move on after they defeated Cass City that we had covered, actually, on Thumbtucket of Sports, winning over Cass City 28-0. But 6-4 is how Marlette will finish the season. All right, coming up after our weather forecast, we'll get ready for that interview with head coach of the Ubley Bearcats, Eric Sweeney, is coming your way here on Sportsline. Let me check in now the latest weather forecast. Welcome back to Sportsline Saturday on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Eddie Fury of you on the line with me, head coach. I think our first coach interview of the season, and why not honor him with this? Head coach Eric Sweeney of the Ubley Bearcats on the line with us. Coach, thank you for talking to us this morning.
No problem, Eddie.
So a big win there for you last night over the Marlette Red Raiders. You moved to right now an 11-0 record, and I tell you what, pick it up where you left off last year in the playoffs, which was an unusual type of season. You played so far 2 seasons within 1 year. How's that transition? Was it very difficult to transition over, or was it a long enough break between there to go from within 1 year finishing up your football season?
Oh, it was long enough. You know, I mean, it still seems like a long time ago that we were playing back in January, so really, really wasn't that much of a difference.
A couple of things you accomplished this season, of course. You move on, and of course, that loss to Centerville in the finals, that's then and there, but you got to be proud. We never really got to talk about this, but your remarkable run there coming off from the break from COVID and then making that remarkable run also in the what you could say almost the prime of winter to accomplish that. Got to be proud of what that team did last year and then carry it over to this year, because a lot of those players were young last year. Still playing this year.
Well, right. You know, and that's a lot of people didn't realize, you know, we had five seniors last year. Four of them played, the other, you know, Cole Hagen kicked. But we started a freshman, a couple sophomores on defense last year. So, you know, we had a lot of experience back. Now, we had some big holes to fill this year, but, you know, it's taken a while. But, you know, I think things are starting to come together for us now.
You said just starting to come together for you now. I think they're pretty together because last year the Greater Thumb League title in the East was not yours. You actually lost last year to Harbor Beach and Sandusky. You changed it up this year, able to beat those two teams. You had an earlier battle against Harbor Beach, winning 50-33, and then beat them in the playoffs a couple of weeks ago, 35-6. Of course, your goal is to try to win as many games as you can because now it's not no longer six wins with playoff points. But, of course, it is a lot of pride to get a league title along to, you know, I guess claim the fact that you have a district championship also, but moving on to the next round also. But to have that league title back in the wall has got to feel good.
Oh, that's huge for us, you know. Been a while since we won one. It's been 16, and you know we have a tough league here. You know, with especially with Harbor Beach and Sandusky, and you know the score didn't show it last night. But, you know, Marlette's a very good team, and you know our league game when we played them, we just got, you know, things got away in the second half where, you know, that game was a lot closer than what the score showed. But you know. You can win games and not be happy how you won. You know, there were games earlier in the year that, you know, there was a lot of things to clean up and get better. And, you know, and I think, you know, when you play teams the second time around and you beat them better than you did the first time, that's telling you you're improving. So, and I think we did improve a lot this year.
Yeah, that was a 56-21 win earlier in the season in week three. And you talk about that, the preparation for that game. It's hard to kind of look back because you got to move on to the next game. You got Harbor Beach and then Memphis and Sandusky after that week three win. But you started off the season pretty tough, you know, three straight games against USA Owers, winning that one 32-22. You never know. You got the jitters. You never know how that practice is going to carry over to week one. I think all teams kind of feel that, you know, in week one. What did you feel after that week one win over USA, knowing what you had to fix?
Well, I actually was pretty happy to come out of that game with a win. You know, USA is always tough for us. It's like looking in the mirror. They're tough kids, and they're well-coached. And, you know, I think they ran into some issues as the year went on. And, you know, but they were a darn good football team when we played them. You know, and that beginning of the year, to me, in them first four games, I called it a gauntlet. We had to get through that gauntlet. You know, because, you know, three of those four teams are playoff teams. And, you know, if you can work through that, you know, it made us better, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, you talk about playoff teams. Lakers, that's who you had in week two, and you handled them pretty well, 40-8. But that Lakers team improved after that, you know, four straight wins rattle off during the playoffs also. That was a 48 to win over the Lakers. And then you had, like you talked about, Marlette, then Harbor Beach. And then you had Memphis, Sandusky, and KPAC all down years, and Brown City to a degree. But then Bad Axe at the end of the regular season, you knew they were a tough team. You're able to come back and win that. That must have fired up the team or even you as coaches to come from behind and get that game 25-13 over Bad Axe. A very tough Bad Axe team, but they were suffering some injuries. But still, they at least had one player deep to make it competitive against you.
Well, you know, the thing that was tough for us was, you know, we played Sandusky, and I thought Sandusky played us very tough when we played them. Then we were supposed to play KPAC, and KPAC forfeited the game on Monday afternoon, so we were not able to get another game. So we didn't play that week. We played Brown City the next week, and our varsity only played the first half. We didn't have a JV game that week. Our JV played the entire second half, so leading up to that Bad Axe game, we had played a half of football. And I'm not big into excuses, but, you know, it's tough to get better when you're not playing games. Well, so I think it took us a half to get playing. I thought we played an outstanding second half against Bad Axe.
And obviously Shelby, because he got the win, 25-13, what we were hoping it'd be considered, and it was kind of was, you know, because it was a tri-champions in the Greater Thumb West, a conference championship type of game, you know, in our heads. But, yeah, that's a major victory, major playoff points also, because, you know, the system's different this year. You know, we've seen some teams get in at four wins. It's not necessarily six wins now. Do you like this playoff point system that the MHSA has instilled based on the strength of schedule?
You know, I don't mind it. You know, I think it forces teams. You know, it really doesn't affect us because, you know, you're playing all these league teams. And, you know, once your league season goes on, your wins really don't matter because you're playing all the same teams. So then the only difference is it's your week one and week nine. Well, we play week one, we play USA, which USA is always tough, and week nine we have Bad X. So, you know, it really don't. I don't think it really affects us much, especially being Division VIII. You know, there's a lot of, the points don't affect Division VIII as much as they would Division V, Division VI, just because of the way, you know, we're always playing bigger schools if we play out of our division. So it definitely, I think it kind of helps us in Division VIII, and I think it hurts some of the bigger schools if they end up playing a smaller school.
All right, so now let's get to the game last night. 42-0, defense did a heck of a job. You got to be proud of the fact that your defensive coaches, good game plan here, along with you, of course, with the offensive plan and defense, compared to week three. And you said you try to get better game by game. You kind of go back to that game and see what you had to correct. You were able to do that. Marlette, strong spread offense. They had some good dynamic players on the field for this past season. Pretty good season for them, 6-4 overall. They, like you said, they played in a tough league in the Greater Thumb Conference. And you got to be proud of the fact that the Ubley defense, where a lot of these players pull both sides of the ball, along with offense, did a heck of a job in the field, but good preparation, you would say.
Well, we have Jim Becker coaches our defense, and I'll put Jim Becker up against any coach in the area. He's just an outstanding coach, really had the kids prepared. And, you know, we didn't feel that we played four quarters of football all year, and we really challenged the kids. You know, we had a lot of games that we scored a lot of points and shut teams down the second half, but we didn't do it for the entire game. So we really felt that this was really our first full game that we played good football for four quarters. But you know, Jim Becker just did a great job getting these kids prepared for this because they do so many things.
The kids, do they, you know, we see the offense. We see the points put up by you over 395 points. You did allow 109 points, but again, it's a tough league through the regular season. Do the kids pride themselves in having a good defense compared to offense, or do they just complement both to set you up with your offense?
I think it complements both. You know, we really emphasize toughness and playing physical football. You know, I mean, we're old school. We're still doing the same stuff we did, you know, that Coach Hurt put in back in the 60s and came back. And, you know, we've been doing the same thing now since the mid-80s. And, you know, there's guys that I played with back in the 80s can look at our offense and call out the plays we're running. So, you know, and the defense is the same way. We just play at the, you know, at the hip pad and, you know, just play physical football. And I think it's the same way, the same mentalities on both sides of the ball.
I know, though, you have a pretty good dynamic quarterback in the backfield that manages the game really well in the field. You got to have a commander out there in the field. A young quarterback started, true freshman, Evan Peruski. You did let him. In fact, you were actually letting the passing game come into play a lot more this season than compared to past couple of years, as you talk about. You still have that running offense, of course, that's powerful, but you got to have a kid like that who does have the arm and can throw and make some smart decisions as he grows. He's still young. 77 yards and 2 touchdowns last night. How much has Evan Peruski grown since he was a freshman up to this point now? Still has more time to play here also in the years for Ubley.
Well, I think the game's slowing down for him. You know, he's a dynamic athlete, but I think the game is slowing down. He's seeing things at speed now. I think, you know, last year, you know, even the beginning of this year, I think there were times the game moved for him a little fast, you know. So, and he just gets better and better, and he's got a great attitude, and, you know, and it also helps to have, you know, I think we have three pretty good running backs behind him that really take the pressure off him, too.
Yeah, you're still using a full house wing T. Colin Oberski there, I think he's a redshirt senior by now. I bet he's been playing a while. And, boy, that guy, you had in the last couple of years here, you've had some pretty big running backs, but complement their strength and speed also in the backfield. And then your offensive line, let's not forget about those guys on the line. They got to make the holes. You got to make the protection. Complement then, and it ends up helping the running backs and your quarterback in the backfield. That offensive line, obviously a key to your success this season with the offense.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've got, you know, three or four back from last year. I think there's four back from last year. You know, and they've done a heck of a job with Cameron Ferris and Aiden McColbiak and Parker Prutsky in the middle, and then we got Ethan Gillig and Mitchell Foot, who's a sophomore at left tackle, and then two senior tight ends. You know, we have Matthew Brandel that's been a running back his entire career and stepped into right end this year and has just done a wonderful job, you know. And, you know, we spend a lot of time on blocking. We want to be good at it. And, you know, we're not bigger than anybody else, but, you know, we get off the ball and we drive. And so they've done a wonderful job.
So you got Breckenridge coming up. They beat Fowler 41-32. That was a battle for Breckenridge. Last night's, of course, you're just getting to know who this team's all about. I'm sure you kind of, you know, sometimes in the back of your mind, you try not to look ahead there, but you have to when it comes to the playoffs. Is this going to, have you guys made a decision what day this game's going to be?
I have not heard. I know we'd just soon play Friday night, but I haven't heard from Brandon Sorensen, our athletic director, yet what they've come up with. So with it being over 70, I think they're 92, 95 miles away. So they do have some say in when we play. Right. So we'll just have to wait and see what they come up with.
So up to this point, Coach, how do you feel about the team? And are you where you wanted to be? Or is there still, you know, the old saying is always room for improvement. But are you satisfied to where you are at this point? Of course, the goal is to get better for the next game.
You know, I'm not one that puts goals on. I've always been, okay, we got to look at the next game. And you know what? The next game is Breckenridge. There's things we got to clean up. You know, there's things we could do better offensively. There's things we could do better defensively. And, you know, we're just looking at this game and just trying to get better for the next game.
Well, we'll see next week, Coach. Great season, by the way. Great win over Marlette, and then also the week before over Harbor Beach, your big rival there. Just get better, as you said, and good luck against Breckenridge come next round for the regional championship. Of course, you don't want to look, you got to control the kids, right? You don't want to look ahead to that state final potential run here, but one game at a time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Coach Sweeney.
All right, thanks, Eddie. Have a good one.
All right. Head Coach Eric Sweeney joining us here on Sportsline Saturday. Want to thank him for making the time this morning. 4 hours of sleep, he said, or probably just under. And now he's probably studying up on Breckenridge. Great success for the Ubley Bearcats up to this point. We'll have that game on our Sportsline crew at Thumbtugger Sports on either Channel 1 or Channel 2, so tune in for that. One that make a decision on time-wise. A lot of media coverage will be there as we narrow down to our coverage area teams, immediate coverage area teams here on our Sports Line and Thumbtugger Sports coverage. We'll be right back. First hour in. We'll see if we can get another interview with a coach in the next hour also. It's going to be a surprise here. Still recaps and other games, and our coverage area teams also coming your way. Thank you to Ubley head coach Eric Sweeney. Kind of recapping what he's done through the season, a little bit from last season, and talking about this season also and what they did against Marlette, obviously. We'll have a glance over what they did defensively. Yeah, credit Jim Becker with a great game plan defensively against a high, potent offense against the Marlette Red Raiders. Here on Sportsline Saturday, WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. We'll also review what high school girls volleyball playoffs in their first week from that past week also as they get ready for regionals also. Welcome to Sportsline Saturday in WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury, your host, going solo. I want to thank head coach Eric Sweeney from the Ubley Bearcats for talking to us this morning. I know it's very tiring for coaches after a Friday night game and staying up, scratching your head, wondering woulda, shoulda, coulda, but I think you should have rested easy after that 42-0 win over Marlette. Thank you to Denny Lester, by the way, for the Marlette Red Raiders head coach, who faithfully sends his stat report, wins or losses, and usually gives a nice little recap in his opinion of what happened. He said, a note from Denny Lester, congratulations to Ubley. They are a tremendous football team. They have been the best football team in our league all season long. They proved how good they can be tonight. They will be pulling for... He said that Marlette and the Greater Thumb East will be pulling for them the rest of the season. they have the ability to be playing on Thanksgiving week. And wow, bold statement there for head coach Danny Lester of the Marlette Red Raiders. He said, I'd love nothing more than to be watching them play for a state championship or any team in the Greater Thumb East for that matter, or the Greater Thumb Conference, or any team in the immediate Thumb area. Coach Lester also said that Ubley is so tough to defend with Evan Peruski at quarterback. He makes you defend 53 and a third yards. Then they have a wonderful fullback. You can't defend everything they run. It's extremely hard. Coach Lester said they tried to slow down the fullback and the quarterback. They were able to hammer them with Colin Oberski, as Oberski ran extremely hard for Ubley. Other than the long pass in the third quarter, they were able to take away the big play. And Coach Lester feels that Marlette made them earn it, but it was a slow death for them, he says. He thought the drive before the end of the second quarter was the big one. They needed to keep them out of the end zone right there. If they did that, they would have been down to two scores and were getting the ball to open the second half. Could have tried to make it a game, but he says that the defensive line, O-line play had gotten better and better as the season went on. Had the difficulty with their interior three tonight against the offensive line, and I made that note. Also said the defensive linebackers are very good as well, as attacking Jason Timbush, getting to him in the backfield as a quarterback in the spread offense. Another aspect Coach Lester says that doesn't get talked about with them this season is their kicker. Yes, a special teams, a PAT kicks. He says it's been outstanding when you can pin another team and making them go 80 yards every time they have the ball. You help your defense so much. Coach Lester wants to thank everyone for such a great season of Marlette and the fans. He said that everybody does a great job of covering the athletes in our area. Says that we are pretty spoiled with the media coverage also. Looks forward to working with all next season. So he just confirmed Coach Lester coming back next season for the Marlette Red Raiders. Get better. That offense was fun to watch. Very happy to cover a lot of games for Marlette, either on the radio here at St. Lake Broadcasting or for Thumbtugger Sports also. Our second hour coming your way. We still got Elmont to talk about. Croswell Lexington to talk about. Armada game also. Armada and Elmont fell. One Blue Water Area Conference team left in the playoffs. That's coming up here on Sportsline Hour 2. Sportsline Saturday, WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. I'm your solo host. Our interview, another coach, big game tonight. Croswell Lexington head coach Mike LeGros will be talking to us. So the Croswell Lexington Pioneers for the big game tonight against St. Clair. We'll be talking to him around the 10:20, 10:35 mark. That'll be coming your way here on Sportsline Saturday on WMIC, AM 660. Still got time for volleyball later this hour also. Got to get that in. Cross country. They're at the state finals right now as we speak on this cold morning. Do your jumping jacks. Yeah, it's hard to stay warm. I want to thank last night the host for our Lakers and Hemlock game, Mikey Smith and Phil Nickel did that game. A big shout out to my Thumbtugger crew also, Jonathan Bisher, and also Ashley Winter Palmer throughout the season. To all our fellow media who have been trading stats throughout the season, the sports writers, news reporters, the backbone of coverage of local sports and our local news. Support your local newspapers and the surrounding papers also. A lot of hours, busy weeks, especially with playoffs and volleyball, cross country and football all at once. Mike Gallagher, Paul Adams of the Huron County View and the San Lake County News. Nathan and Amber Marks over at the Minden City Herald doing some great changes there with their coverage of sports at the Minden City Herald. Tuscola County Advertiser, Scott Bowlesby out there, the Times Herald, the new sports writer there now. Support those local papers, or you just don't get your sports in the full beef and juice, the mashed potatoes and gravy, your full stat report. Support your local media, please. Of course, the Sportsline crew and Sandlight Broadcasting crew here, Dave Frederick. Mr. Dennis Gardner also helping out. Mr. Gardner helping out farming at the same time, tilling the lands of the farmers' fields and helping us out with our live coverage of our games. Of course, our photographers out there, Jason Palmer-Tier and other crew members out there. Ben Miller also joining our Thumb Sports Writers Association, also the Haleron Daily Tribune, returning to the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association as we get ready for our big meeting next week. where we get to pick the regular season of our player of the years, team of the years, and coach of the years also. So that's going to be a lot of debate on that also coming up. All right, sports line here on Saturday. Let's talk about the Elmont Raiders last night. Now, this was, I would say, a little bit of a down couple years here for Elmont. They had to forfeit a lot of games last year, or couldn't play any games last year due to the COVID situation. So their first two games last year had an open date in week three. So they didn't play any games until Algonac last year. And then they lost at North Branch last year's Blue Water Area Conference champions. And then had a couple open dates October 2nd and the 9th. And they, you know, everybody got in the playoffs. Last year they lost to Frank and moved 28-0. Well, this year started off with a loss. And it was a tough team they played. Monroe St. Mary Catholic. 0-25, if you recall, back in week one. And then they rattle off three straight wins over Yale, Emily City, Algonac, the teams you're supposed to beat because of their down years. And they were right there with North Branch. North Branch able to come back and shock Elmont, where Elmont lost 14-20. And then they lost to a power this year, the Crosby Lexington Pioneers, 7-41. And then I guess you could say pulled off a mini upset win over Armada, 14-7, as Armada was in the playoffs this year also for the Elmont Raiders. But the key wins, I think, over Armada and then Richmond, and Clawson got him in the playoffs with six wins, but the playoff points also, based on who they played with North Branch and Crosby Lexington in those playoff points. They beat Clawson a couple weeks ago in the pre-districts, 35-0, but they lose to Michigan Collegiate last night, the Elmont Raiders, 44-14. Elmont scored in the first quarter, and that was a touchdown kickoff return with 6 points, and then they didn't score again until the fourth quarter with 8 points. That was Connor Nascavira with a 19-yard pass from Chase Dave Dowski, making it 44-14 with a loss. Yeah, Warren Michigan Collegiate just ran off 1, 2, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter alone to take a 22-0 lead at that point, until Elmont scored in that first quarter with that kickoff return. But then in the first quarter again, Warren Michigan Collegiate able to score 30-6, 44 points in the first quarter alone. They didn't score again in the second, third, or fourth quarter after that. All 44 points Warren Michigan Collegiate scored in the first quarter, according to this stat report that I got here. 464 yards total for Warren Michigan Collegiate to Elmont Raiders' total of 134 yards. 25 total plays, 54 for Warren Michigan Collegiate. 85 passing yards for Elmont in that game, 49 rushing yards also. 316 yards rushing for Warren Michigan Collegiate, 148 passing yards also for Warren Michigan Collegiate. Apparently, Elmont did have a touchdown pass or something there. I'm just kind of checking that. Chase Dadowski to score that touchdown in the fourth quarter. And just limited to the rushing-wise there. It's a tough game there for Elmont to lose there. I think they'll bounce back. You know, they've been in the playoffs every year since 2010. And, since 2010, all the way up to 2021. That's quite a long time. 11 straight years of playoffs. And actually only missed the playoffs once since 2006 for the Elmont Raiders. They finished the regular season at 6-4 overall, 5-2 in league. Well, that's where we leave it at that. Armada Tigers' season ended last night also. Their season ends at 7-3 overall. They lose to Corona, who will take on Marine City in Division 5 action. A great year here for Armada Tigers at 7-3 overall. I remember covering this game back in Week 3, a big win over North Branch, 34-28 in Week 3. In fact, Armada started off the season going 5-0 with their wins over Clawson, Algonac, North Branch, Richmond, a big win there, 34-10, and Yale and Emily City. So at that point, they were already 6-0 before their loss to Elmont. Close game there, 14-7. They actually challenged Crosby Lexington also 14-30, though, is where they lost to Croswell. And then they lost to Flint Kersley. Taking on some competition there. That gets you playoff points. And then they ended the regular season when that loss to Flint Kersley. They won in the playoff game over Richmond a couple weeks ago, 21-0. So they're able to beat Richmond twice in the season. But they had Almont, Croswell, and Flint Kersley, three straight losses for Armada, able to bounce back with a playoff win over Richmond. So I would say pretty good year there for Armada Tigers. I hope they can grow from here because I always want a league to be very competitive no matter what. And it was. I mean, you saw some teams beat back-and-forth affairs, like where North Branch came back and beat Almont. Same deal with Armada getting their win over North Branch. And then later on, rattle off the win over Richmond, and they did lose to Almont, but Almont, you know, vice versa over Armada. But they challenged Croswell Lexington also, so pretty good success there, I would say, for Armada finishing the season at 7-3 overall, compared to last year where they were 3-4. Now, remember, the games were limited. Everybody got in the playoffs because of the COVID year last year. But the last time that Armada actually made the playoffs based on playoff wins or our regular season wins in playoff points was way back in 2004. So I would say last year, I don't know, I hate to say this, not really a legitimate where everybody got in the playoffs. It just treated it like a regular season in the first round of the playoffs. But Armada earned their way into the playoffs. The last time they did that was since 2004, where they were 8-3 at that point. Tip of the hat to the Armada Tigers for making it this far. However, they just couldn't hold on as they lose to Corona last night. And that game was the final score in Division 5, 20-8. So they hung in there. They hung in there. Corona scoring just enough points to get that win over Armada last night. So now it's Corona going up against Marine City, who defeated Dundee next week. Again, time and dates for a lot of these playoff games will be set by over the late weekend or by Monday during the day afternoon. This is where things start, you know, a little negotiating on what days they want to play. Sometimes they end up playing on Saturdays because when you get to the semifinals in a couple weeks, a lot of those games will likely play on a Saturday because I think they have to play them at a neutral site also. So you got to think about that. All right, coming up in just a bit here, we are going to be talking to head coach Mike LeGros, the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, coming up here on Sportsline Saturday on WMIC. Welcome back to Sportsline Saturday, WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Big game tonight on WBGV 92.5 FM around 6:30 p.m. for the pregame. 7 p.m. kickoff at East China Stadium will be Croswell Lexington Pioneers taking on St. Clair. And you can hear that game also streaming on the radio too, 92.5, and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. You can find a link right there. With me on the line right now, finally getting me able to talk to him on the air radio-wise, is head coach Mike LeGros of the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Feeling pretty good about today.
Yeah, you got to feel good. Of course, you know, never rest easy. You went to a game last night, in fact. If you win tonight against St. Clair, your potential opponents, and Freeland actually hosted a game for us that we had covered, Lakers at Hemlock on their field, but Freeland was on the road. But they got that win there, and you were able to watch them.
Yeah, I always want to get a nice live look on somebody if we're going to potentially play them. Plus, I'm also a Freeland graduate myself. So I wanted to go out there and support my own head football coach who's still there and, wanted to see football live on stage and some sort of rhythm that we have.
Yeah. How long has Freeland's head football coach been there now?
As the varsity coach, he's been there since, I want to say, 2006 was his first season as the varsity coach, which was my junior year.
Yeah, I was going to say, Adair, what year did you graduate then? So,
yeah, 2008.
2008. Man, I'm getting old. So, yeah, 1989 for me, coach. So, yeah. Talk about your career. You graduated Freeland High School. Was this always what you wanted to do? Coaching, of course, is sometimes a thankless job. A lot of it is a lot of volunteer time. And in addition to your job at the school also. So a lot of hours end up being 16, 18-hour days.
Yeah, well, when I originally started this whole deal, like when I graduated from high school, I was fortunate enough to be able to play at college, at Elbean College, for 4 years. And, you know, I was kind of one of those kids. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to play football, so that's where I went. I went somewhere to play football. When I figured out what I wanted to do, I wanted to go and be a strength and conditioning coach at the college level. After I graduated, I was trying to find, you know, grad school to go to or find an internship, applied to a couple places, didn't get in. And so I called my head football coach at Freeland and said, hey, you know, can I help out? And this would have been in the fall of 2012. And I just kind of got the bug for it, went to school at Saginaw Valley to finish up some teaching certification, and kind of the rest there has been history in terms of coaching. While also going to school, I was able to play a little bit professionally in the indoor leagues for 3 years. So I was still able to keep the same kind of rhythm of go to class, go to football, go to class, go to football kind of deal, which was normal for me. And, you know, bounced around a little bit. It was 2 years at Freeland. I spent a year at Clio, and then I spent the next 5 years before I came to Croslex at Hemlock High School, where I was like the varsity offensive line, co-offensive coordinator, kind of strength and conditioning coach, kind of did everything to help build my way to be a head football coach at Croslex.
Yeah, talk about that indoor league. I would say you could almost say that's kind of similar to what eight-player football is on the field, although it's a shorter field, the indoor league.
Right, yeah, it's very similar. The only thing that's very different is that there's receivers in motion going towards the line. But in all reality, it's pretty much just eight-man football being played on a hockey rink.
That was actually fun to watch. I actually attended some games if nobody had a chance to back in the Arena Football League days around here. Also, I know Port Huron, every chance I had a chance to see football indoors because it was the fast pace of it. Did that carry over to what the speed of the game is to where you're at now at Croswell? You got to pick up on things like that and what to look for, because there's so much to look for on an indoor league. Your eyes got to be everywhere at this point where you only have one man in motion, but to have that many players out in the field and that quickness, did it help?
Yeah, I mean, just in that, and just being a, you know, being a college athlete, breaking down film in a very different way. You know, when people watch football, they watch the ball. They tend to follow the ball. And I was, you're basically trained and coached to watch the entire field at once, or, you know, look for certain things that give away tendencies based on a alignment, or if I motion, are they going to switch from this coverage to this coverage? Things like that, and be able to process that fast. And, you know, I run my offense fast. It's helped me, you know, process information a lot quicker.
All right, let's talk about your team. First of all, Congratulations. 91 overall. The Blue Water Area Conference League title. Pioneers got to be happy. The Sugar Beach are going crazy. They're making sugar. They're all pumped up out there also. You can see the steam coming through the Croswell-Lexington area right now as we speak. It's got to be a sweet victory for you to have that league title for the team just in your second year for the Pioneers.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I'll tell you the same thing I told the kids. I didn't expect to be here year two. I thought this was a year four, year five process. Maybe year three, we got, you know, we had it clicking right away. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have some really good athletes that have just bought in. The kids have bought completely in. I mean, my second year really was my first year with the full, like, off season with the summer and be able to do installs and 7-on-7s and really get to know the kids more personally, because last year was kind of, you know, it was what it was with, you know, are we in school, are we not in school, can we practice, can we not practice? So it was a little more jerky there, where this year it's been a little more smooth, getting to know the kids. Winning the league in your second year is tough. I mean, even all the years I was at Hemlock when we've had success, we never won the league because, you know, Ithaca was always standing at our door, or, you know, Millington would have a, you know, a group that runs through that's really, really good. Ooh. And so it was a gauntlet of a league. And I got here, I was like, okay, Almont just came off a state title run. I'm used to that. Armada has good, you know, Armada's been on the way up. Richmond's a traditionally good program. Algonac was in the state semifinals not too long ago. I was like, oh, great, here we go. It's going to be a gauntlet league. So, you know, I said, I did what I know what to do, and that's build the program from the weight room. And the kids have completely bought into the weight room, and it's made them better athletes.
Yeah, make them stronger on the line. You need a lot of muscle. That gives you quickness for your big guys because you want them to be a little bit stamina-wise strong, you know, be a little bit quick to be aware that if you're too slow, man, that blitz comes up, you got to react really quickly after the first block, but you got to react to the second block also for your quarterback who's had a fantastic season, Jake Townsend. You got to be happy with the development of him, especially after that loss. A lot of mistakes for you guys in week one. Could be the jitters, but Williamson is no slouch themselves, you know. That was the first week one loss, 43-20, and you know, for you to get that the comeback after that and able to recover and rattle off 8 straight wins over North Branch, then you had Yale and Emily City. You know what Richmond's all about, so you're able to get that win emphatically 56-0. Unfortunately, that game against Emily City was a forfeit. You knew what Almont was about. You were able to take command of that win 41-7. And then Algonac and Armada was a tough game. Armada actually brought some game to you guys and challenged you, but you ended up winning 30-14. And there's always, you can never look past Scarber, but you're able to get that shutout. And then last week, a battle against Pontiac Notre Dame Prep, a power playoff football also, no slouches themselves. You were able to grind that out in a mud bowl, 6-0. But that regular season after Williamston, that was probably a good wake-up call for the players. That, hey, we've got to do things right. We've got to stop these mistakes. We got to correct them now, and you're able to do that in week two against North Branch.
Right, yeah, we really had no time to feel sorry for ourselves after the first week at the Williamson. We scheduled Williamson for a reason. It's a team that is a perennial powerhouse in their division. They were in the Division IV semifinals last year, and you know they had a lot of the kids coming back. It was going to be one of those measuring stick games. Where do we measure with a what we call a brand in the state? And if you ask my defensive coordinator now, he'd say he'd want to play them again right now because he believes the game would be very different because we've moved some kids around, we changed some scheme, we've done some things to where it would put us in a better spot to have a successful chance at Williamston. But, you know, there's some teams out there that'll sit there and schedule, you know, weaker week ones just to kind of ease into things. Now, I'd rather have a measuring stick, see where my weaknesses are, and fix them. You know, you can't turn the ball over. I think we had 4 turnovers that game, 2 pick sixes. You know, if you eliminate those 14 points, it's a little bit closer of a game that we had. But, you know, running the BWAC like we did, I mean, we had to do what we had to do. Everyone in the league, we're the weird ones. We don't huddle. We go fast. We snap the ball every 15 to 20 seconds where everybody else wants to take 35 to 40 seconds to snap the football. No one throws the ball like we do. Jake Townsend, probably by the end of tonight, will have over 2,000 yards passing. He might have 1,000 yards rushing. He is the offense. He is the guy that makes things click for us.
Yeah, how has he grown? He's a senior now, Jake Townsend. 100 completions out or 181 attempts. Not bad for high school. That's over 50-plus percent. He's got 1,800 yards, as you mentioned also. Interception, 8 interceptions throughout the season so far, but he has 20 touchdowns on top of that. Got to be proud of his development.
Right, and funny thing is, before I got here, he wasn't even a quarterback. He was a wide receiver.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, I just saw a kid that I remember having when I first met him. We were having like coach player interviews, so I kind of get to know the kids. And you know, first question I asked him, "What position do I play?" And it was point blank, no pause, no thinking about it. I want to be the quarterback. And he's ran with it ever since. My first year, we had like a 3 or 4 way position battle for it because, you know, let's find out who the guy is. Competition will bring out the best in everybody, and he just rose to the top instantly. If he wasn't a quarterback, he'd probably be an all-state receiver. If he didn't play off, if he didn't play for quarterback, he might be an all-state free safety. I've been trying to talk to college coaches about him. Like, you know, I know he's a quarterback, and I know he's probably not a next-level quarterback because of his size. I go, but he's just an athlete that deserves to be on a college roster because he just is that kind of kid. He works harder than everybody else. He gets after it. He, you know, I mean, he'd be putting up Sage Flanick numbers at receiver if he was playing receiver.
You think he has that knowledge, that he's that smart enough? He picks up on the game and he just wants to learn more and more, you know, the mental side of it, but to pick up things, you know, read defenses, when to change a play, when to trust, you know, the play call also, changing things up on the line if he has to?
Yeah, like I've never really given a kid that full permission to change to what he needs to do, to, you know, flip the protection, put the running back where he needs to be so he can pick up the blitz, you know, call an audible with the receiver because, you know, they're playing press instead of soft coverage, or they're playing soft coverage, so he's going to, you know, call a zone play to beat it. I mean, he's just – there's a couple plays where he just completely ad-libbed it, and they go to for big touchdowns. The best one I can think of is against North Branch, the last touchdown where he broke it for a big one. He just went to the line, made a read, made a cut, and he was gone. The play wasn't even designed to go that way when I called it in, and he just did Jake things.
So with that quarterback passing yardage, you got to have receivers to compliment you. Sage Slanik, senior lead receiver with 691 yards, 11 touchdowns. You got other weapons out there also, Gavin Espinosa. Also, you have a junior, Drew Hosterman, out there receiving-wise. You have many weapons on the line of your offense receiving-wise to complement your quarterback. Also, you have another junior on this team. We have Mr. Gonzalez, Jackson Gonzalez, another 100-plus yard receiver. You got to have those weapons. You can't just depend on one player, obviously. But receiving-wise, you got to have your receivers there able to catch the ball as long as your quarterback can get you that. You got some tough players there in the receiving.
Right, and every single one of them have a chance to take it to the house every time they touch the ball. One guy that you left down there is Jack Oliver. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet, but he's been one of our chain movers. When we run Sage off for, you know, on a go or, you know, a deep route, you know, Jack will hit the brakes, sit in the zone, you know, get in Jake's line of view, get the ball thrown to him, get, you know, 11 yards that we need, move the chains, move on to the next set of downs. And he's been pretty good at that. I think, though, you can only play, you know, 3 to 4 receivers at a time in our offense. And so, you know, I'm probably 6-7 deep at that position. And so the kids, when they get the ball, they try to score because they might not get as many targets as, you know, if they were at a different school, because they would probably be the one.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they just make the best of their opportunities. And they all know that, you know, if one of them scores, they all score. And that is something that I think is pretty rare at the high school level, is kids understanding that the team is a bigger picture than me, kind of deal. So if, you know, if you're the one that happens to get his number called all night, it is what it is. You know, example of that would be Belly Grappi, our running back. I want to say going into our Armada game, he only had 37 carries. And then we go to Armada in the Mud Bowl, and he had 37 carries himself.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things where, you know, it's whatever it's needed that night, and the kids understand that sometimes they're going to play, sometimes they're not going to play a lot just based off a scheme and what the other team does.
Yeah, by the way, folks, Grappi has 13 touchdowns with his 699 yards through 9 games, and Townsend, 818 yards with 8 touchdowns, the quarterback slash passer at quarterback Kelm here. So let's look ahead to St. Clair tonight. Your game plan, obviously, you know what they're going to do. You got to attack your quarterback. That's what they got to do. Your plan is, of course, to protect your quarterback. You still have your, you know, Grappi back there to help out running wise. The game plan heading in tonight's game.
Yeah, game plan is to just take what they give us. They have a set of twin brothers, the Ellis brothers, who are dynamic athletes. That one's a quarterback, one's a receiver, running back, and
yeah, that would be Luke and Logan Ellis. They beat North Branch last week in the playoffs. So
yes, and you know, we got that film. We've broken it down. Like, they're dynamic athletes, and you know, they also have that nice special, you know, extra connection because they're twins. And so we'll try to shut down those guys and see if somebody else can beat us. You know, we're just offensively, you know, we've seen, I'm not going to lie, I have 9 films on them. I've broken down 9 films this week.
Wow.
You know, we kind of pick up, against certain teams, they run this coverage. Against certain formations, they run this coverage. know, so we can know how to use our motions and use our formations to give us a numbers advantage in the box and all that kind of stuff. And the thing is, though, we move so fast that you don't have a chance to sub. And because I think we've caught probably people with 12 men on the field by about 4 or 5 times this year because they're trying to get subs in, and you just can't do it against us.
Right.
That's kind of our game plan every week is tempo. Go fast. Don't give them a chance to catch their breath. If you sit there and you get a 50-yard run, and then you huddle and you take 38 seconds to snap the ball, you just gave the other team 38 seconds to figure it out. Where our philosophy is, I snap it, we get a big play, we get to the line, we snap it again, you can figure it out when we score a touchdown.
All right. And by the way, St. Clair last week had 160 yards passing, rushing yards 229 yards, so a pretty good, well-balanced offense for St. Clair. You know, you're in the same fold there also. You know, it's going to be a challenge of both quarterbacks also on the field and, of course, your running back. So you both kind of complement each other on what your defense has got to stop.
Yeah, and the nice thing, you know, we have Kirk Wilson, who's our senior linebacker. He has, I want to say, over 115 tackles this year. 24 of them are for tackles for loss. He flies over the field. He causes a lot of havoc. He's the reason why the score was 6-0 against Notre Dame Prep last week. I mean, the kid snuffed out everything and just attacked and played with his head on fire and, you know, did what he had to do. He's a great athlete. I think he's a college-level kid that I think anybody would take him if they had the opportunity to look at him on film.
It's going to be a good game. I know for any fan who is not doing anything on a Saturday night, don't want to watch Michigan beat Indiana, or the game against Michigan State will be over. They'll probably go 9-0, you hope. Come on out tonight at East China Stadium to see some good local high school football across Lexington at St. Clair. Coach, I want to thank you for talking to us. Great season, Blue Water Area League title. We got a district championship. And, we'll find out tonight, and then hopefully to move on to the next round of playoffs. We know St. Clair Saints is a tough team. They took on some tough competition throughout the regular season. They're 8-2 overall. And good luck tonight.
All right, thank you. We are the only game on in the state at 7 o'clock tonight, so we'll have all the lights on us.
That's at East China Stadium. Good luck, Coach.
And, all right, thank you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, no problem. Go Pioneers.
All right, Coach Mike LeGros of the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. Good game. Go out to East China Stadium tonight. Croswell Lexington Pioneers at St. Clair Saints. Going to be a great game. Two teams. Talking about the other team, he broke down the film. Both teams compliment each other. We'll see how it goes. That game will be on 92.5 FM WBGV. Sand Lake Broadcasting, also streaming live at sandlakebroadcasting.com. You can find the link on our website at that. We'll be back here with more Sportsline Saturday. Welcome back to Sportsline Saturday, WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury. Another interview coming here quick. Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser Sports Newspaper. Also on his radio station to be calling a game. Our Thumb Sports Writers Media Association compadres, Let's Talk Sports 92.1. We'll be covering a Millington game tonight. This afternoon, actually, at Lansing Catholic. Right now, I want to review what happened against Armada. Armada scored first against Corona, who won 20-8. 2 points, a safety scored by Armada. But then in the second quarter, it was Corona scoring with a 12-yard pass. Tarek Bauer and Jaden Herrick making it 8-2. Third quarter, Tarek Bauer, 18-yard pass from Jaden Herrick, also making it 14-2. Then in the fourth quarter, 6-yard pass from Jaden Herrick, a failed 2-point conversion, making it 20-2. 72-yard pass for Armada, making it 20-8. Just ran out of time. Total yards, 195 yards for Corona, 103 passing yards, 92 rushing yards. Armada did a good job running the ball, just couldn't get it in. 152 yards rushing and 96 yards passing. They had 5 turnovers, however. Turnovers were key in the game. Corona had 2 turnovers in this game also. 8 penalties on Armada with 77 yards, 63-yard penalties on Corona with 9. 2 fumbles lost. 2 fumbles lost also for Armada and 3 interceptions. turnovers will take you down anytime in a playoff game. Yeah. And that did affect North Heron Warriors. If we move on to eight-player football, what a battle. That game I covered last night on our Thumb Tuggeter Sports Crew on Channel 2. We had to split up in two parts. We thought we were going to go late. So we have a part one of the first half and the second half, which actually sped up compared to the first half. 48-42 was a win for All Gray Sims over North Heron Warriors in a battle. It was a battle between the Wolverines and Warriors. First quarter, it was Mason Van Sickle, the quarterback for All Gray Sims, with a 89-yard TD run, making it 6-0. And Gabe Mexer with an 8-yard pass for Mason Van Sickle to make it 8-0 with a 2-point conversion. North Heron scored back-to-back touchdowns. Will Case with a 1-yard touchdown run, making it 8-6. The quarterback, Will Case, for North Heron with a 3-yard rush, making it 8-8 to tie it up. And then All Gray Sims, Parker Nelson, 10-yard pass for Mason Van Sickle, making it 14-8. The 2-point conversion by Evan Saunders, number one for All Gray Sims. What a quick kid. 3-yard rush, making it 16-8. Second quarter, Will Case with a touchdown again. He had 6 touchdowns in this game. He battled hard. North Heron's Will Case in the second quarter with a 2-yard TD run, making it 14-16. Then the 1-yard rush touchdown to take the lead for the first time in this game for North Heron, making it 20-16. And then Will Case with a 3-yard rush to make it 22-16. Mason Van Sickle, though, answered back with a 43-yard touchdown run to make it and tie it up 22-22. Their 2-point conversion, no good. Will Case scoring another touchdown in that second quarter with a 31-yard TD run, making it 28-22, the second time North Heron had the lead. And then Augury Sims answered back with under a minute left of a 50-yard TD run, tying it up 28-28. At that point, the 2-point conversions were no good there. Will Case with a 1-yard TD run, making it 34-28, the third lead of the game for North Heron. But guess what? Yes, answering back, they got the 2-point conversion 36-28. But Keegan Bender with a 30-yard TD pass from Mason Van Sickle, about under a minute left in the first half, 36-34. And then Mason Van Sickle with a 3-yard TD run. Mason Van Sickle, by the way, the quarterback who had over 2,400 yards passing-wise, 41 passing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns in the regular season also. So, and the team itself, well-balanced, over 2,400-plus yards passing and over 2,000-plus yards rushing on the season. And that tied it up at the half, 36-36. But then All Gray Sims comes out, slows things down. In the third quarter, just one touchdown. Mason Van Sickle with a 3-yard TD run, making it and leading 42-36. Keegan Bender then, after a turnover, interception, and a fumble by North Heron, they were able to get the ball back. Both teams were able to had the punt a couple times. And All Gray Sims scores in the fourth quarter with a 2-yard TD run, making it 48-36 to take a lead. We thought that's it, it's over, just a couple minutes left. But hey, we said that way too soon. North Heron Warriors said, be quiet. Be quiet, Eddie Fury. They came back. It was a desperation pass into the end zone and caught by Jordan Coleman, North Heron, with a pass from Will Case with a 28-yard TD pass to make it 42-48. And then you think, okay, there's just only under a minute, maybe about 40-something seconds left. North Heron kicks the onside kick. They recover. And they already called all their timeouts earlier to stop the clock a couple times as Augury Sims was trying to drain that clock. They recover the onside kick, able to recover it, but then a couple good stops there by Augury Sims as you're coming down to the waning seconds. And kind of wasted it down by spiking the ball to stop the clock, but they weren't, you know, ready for that hurry-up offense. They were in All Gray Sims Wolverines territory and probably about maybe 35 yards away from the end zone to try to tie it up with about 20-something seconds left. Desperation pass goes incomplete on fourth down and long. And that's where North Heron gave the ball back, turnover and downs, and All Gray Sims took the kneel and got the Division II regional championship game. Great battle. Great battle. 48-42. Augre Sims moves on to take on Colon, who defeated Morris last night. That is a big upset. A 4 seed beating the number 1 seed. So it'll be Augre Sims hosting Colon next week. Total yards, rushing wise, 361 yards, 116 yards passing. And turnovers, a touchdown, interception, and a fumble for North Huron. They had 62 yards penalty-wise also. Will Case, 264 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns, threw for a touchdown also. And there was a fumble. Will Case, 116 yards passing, 1 touchdown pass. And Ryan Shornack, leading receiver, was 75 yards on the game. For Augre Sims, Mason Van Sickle, the quarterback, he is tremendous. 4 touchdown runs rushing-wise, 271 yards rushing. Mason Van Sickle also with the completions, 14 of 19, 2 touchdowns. He did have an interception and had 202 yards passing. Leading receiver, Evan Saunders. What a great, player. Compliments a lot of great offensive weapons, 122 yards. No touchdowns, however, rushing-wise. Receiving-wise, Evan Saunders, 122 yards. So your leading receiver right there. Rushing-wise, Evan Saunders had 120 yards. He did have 2 fumbles, able to recover a couple of times. And Keegan Bender, 68 yards and a touchdown for Augre Sims. Leading rusher, like I said, the quarterback, Mason Van Sickle. Evan Saunders, 122 yards rushing. Cole Pendred with 38 yards also. So your player makers, Evan Saunders and Mason Van Sickle, by far the quarterback. Congratulations to Augre Sims and congratulations to North Huron. They were undefeated at this point until their finally first loss to Augre Sims. All right, when we come back, going to wrap things up. Got a little bit of time here to talk to somebody on the air. We'll talk to Scott Bowlesby here in just a second after our last break here on Sportsline Saturday. All right, welcome back to Sportsline on the air. With me right now, Tuscola County sports writer Scott Bowlesby, also on another radio station, a rival, friendly competitor, 92.1. They're going to be covering the Millington game as they are at Lansing Catholic. Scotty B., how you doing, man?
Hey, doing all right. A little chilly out here. Got a nice little breeze, crisp breeze, but a beautiful sunny day in Lansing, which I'm sure is a lot better than what Michigan felt last week in Lansing. So
I'm still hurting from that one, but hey,
too.
I want the Spartans to remain undefeated. I want a team from the state of Michigan to be in the playoff hunt. So I'm happy about that at this point. Hey. So.
They're looking good right now, so we'll see if they can keep it going.
All right, we got about 3 minutes before our top of the hour news here, so let's really quickly talk about the game you're covering. Millington, man, they have ran the table here, but they run into a big team here, legendary in the playoff system, Lansing Catholic here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Lansing Catholic Central, the home of Cooper Rush, who actually just started his first NFL game the other night for the Dallas Cowboys. Got a victory in that one, so the name is synonymous with victories and you know, great football. And it's going to be tough today. Millington coming in here, they like to throw the ball. I believe the quarterback for Lansing Catholic has over 1,900 yards passing this year. They like to throw it. Just a little tidbit here as well: Mel Tucker's son is actually on this squad, so we will see him out here today. He's on the defensive side more than anything, but. Outside of that, they like to pass it. Millington's got some speedy backs and Jordanio Bailey and Luke Matuzik. So I like Millington keeping with Lansing Catholic in this one. I'm not going to say it's going to be, it's not going to be a washover. I think Millington's going to put up a fight, and I hope for a fun one. The last time we were here with Millington, they got beat up by Jackson Lumen Christie and Bo Bell. So hopefully we don't see a replay of that one today.
Yeah, and that, when was that? That was
2018.
Yeah,
I believe something like that. And it was a tough one, and just a costly interception before halftime really turned the tide against Millington, and they could never rebound from that. And I feel like this is a different type of squad. A lot of speed. They like to spread the ball out in the backfield. They can throw the ball, and we know that. Millington likes to do the flea flickers and the trickery plays, so I'm sure we'll see something of that nature today as well.
All right. So, real quick here. So good luck to that Millington Cardinals. Man, one of my top candidates for Team of the Year. I mean, there's so many teams there now to pick. It's going to be a difficult meeting here. So
I believe so.
Let's move on to volleyball real quick. North Branch Lady Broncos win their 17th straight district championship. My goodness. How far can they go?
Yeah, you know, they go into a regional that features Garber, who's having their best season right now. Bertrand, who just knocked off a very tough Frank Moose squad. I believe North Branch looks good this year. They were down Alana Deshetsky for a lot of the season, who is their best player. They still won a ton of games. She is back now. And, you know, Coach Fish, they were worried that she had a bad knee injury, but it ended up being nothing major. She was able to bounce back. She's now playing again. It just makes them even more dangerous, which is scary. I honestly think you're going to be seeing this North Branch squad get through the regionals. They will be playing in the quarterfinals. There's some tough squads at the top of that division, but I like North Branch's chances. Anytime Jim Fish is going to be at the helm with that squad, I like their chances no matter what.
And then, of course, Cass City moving on. Sandusky moving on, also winning their first district title in 30 years also.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you, by the way, folks, Scotty B is a Sandusky native graduate.
Yes, I am very happy for him. That's awesome. I mean, I thought Marlette looked really good the other night against Kingston. I honestly thought they were going to pull it out. But, you know, kudos to Sandusky going in there, getting the sweep at Marlette. And, you know, shout out to their first-year coach who went in there and has really completely changed kind of the atmosphere.
Cass City, they win their district championship, three straight sets over USA, who's been pretty much a good power here in the last several years. What's Cass City look like in the next round here come regionals on Tuesday?
Man, they look good. It's going to be another battle. I think they open up with Hemlock, if I'm not mistaken, and it could be a Reese Cass City regional championship showdown, which, man, that's, if you're a fan of good volleyball, good Greater Thumb West volleyball, that's all you could ask for, because those two teams are really hot right now. They ended out the season with Cass City upsetting Reese, giving them their first conference loss, and I think they're both hungry, but Cass City is ready to go out there and show that they can do it again.
Yeah, because they're in the same division, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it should be interesting. Real quick, Eddie, I just wanted to give a shout-out. Gracie Walker from Kingston, Mackenzie Krieger from Sandusky, and Maze Guza are all state runners the first couple of races this morning.
Oh, so those already started and completed. I know we had several Thumb Area athletes go into the cross-country finals this morning, too.
Yeah,
big shout-out. By the way, big shout-out to Bubba Armstrong also, right? We want to make a shout-out to him.
Yeah, Bub's not feeling well. He's called me a couple times this week. He wanted to let you know and wanted to let everybody know that he was under the weather and unfortunately couldn't be out there cheering on Marlette, but he definitely had him in his thoughts, and he was hoping they could bring home one district title. Unfortunately, they went 0-2, but he's still a Marletter to the core. It doesn't matter win or lose, but yeah, he's under the weather. He said it's nothing major. He'll be back, so hopefully you can see him on the sidelines during basketball season.
Another team in Division IV, the Ubbly Lady Bearcats, making history also. They won a district title in high school volleyball also.
Yeah. I was talking to Paul last night about it.
Paul Adams of the Huron County View Sports, by the way.
Sorry. He said they played a little shaky in their district championship, but, you know, we've learned a thing about Ubbly volleyball the past couple of years is that they battle, and I would never count them out going in the regional, which the regional is at Peck. So if you're in the area and you want to check out some good volleyball, Peck is the place to be.
All right, thank you, Scotty B. Good luck in your game. Absolutely. Millington at Lansing Catholic on 92.1 FM. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Eddie.
That does it for Sportsline on WMIC.